Well, Joe O'Brien, what do you think of that?
Tell you what they've achieved. They've achieved something absolutely rotten.
And Kieran McGeaney as a player was, you know, a phenomenal player, and he didn't cry and he didn't whinge, you know.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
But I'll tell you what, you can forget about Sean Kavanagh as far as he's a man.
Remember that tribe in Iraq, the Shiite tribe? Well, we've watched Shiite football.
People think I'm a bit of a lunatic, loose cannon, whatever you'd like to say.
Seamus! Come on! Move!
Hello and welcome back to the GAA Scores podcast. My name's Conor Donnelly and I'm joined by Pierce Corcoran.
Welcome, Conor.
And I'm also joined by Ryan McCluskey.
Hello, folks.
And, well, this is going to be our review of the Football Championship season just gone past, which I'm sure, unless you've somehow forgotten, Kerry won the championship this year, beating Donegal in the final. But lads, now I know that there may be a few standout moments in there you want to share about. Also, we'll be going through any suggestions of ourselves for team of the year. I don't want to get bogged down in another all-star discussion like we had last year, Pierce, but yeah, so basically, if you want to start...
All my fault!
No, it was good, that was good. But Pierce, maybe you want to start us off there with something that maybe stood out for you this year. Maybe something that, well, something quite obvious or something that maybe is not as obvious.
What stood out for me this year? I think it was the re-emergence of Donegal. I know they didn't exactly go away, but their emergence onto the scene as a contender, that it wasn't just a flash in the pan, that they could be a team that could potentially be around for a good few years. But also, I think it gives the rivalry around football, it gives a few characters, it gives the narrative a bit of meat to it, as opposed to in great football eras over the years, we've always had two teams going neck and neck. Well, next year, we're potentially looking at Kerry, Mayo, Dublin and Donegal going hell for leather every next year at least.
And then the plucky underdogs Dublin might be back as well. Ryan, what about you?
Yeah.
And what about you for you then, Ryan? And in particular, just from overall point of view, we'll get into it.
Yeah. Yes, so my highlight for this year had to be, had been saying throughout the year as well, it had to be Diego Costa's brother from another mother, Eamon Fitzmaurice. The job he has done over the last couple of years for Kerry has been fantastic, and to take a side that was apparently in transition to win an All Ireland final in his second year of term is just something that something that dreams are made of. So well done to Eamon and his backroom team, and also a shout out to Paulie O'Donoghue. Talked about him in a previous podcast and didn't actually think he was involved and hadn't been involved, but I said that he would make most teams or most county teams, sorry, and I've actually found out he has been part of the Kerry setup this year, so I was delighted to see Paulie involved, and a little special mention for him as well. So Eamon Fitzmaurice and the Kerry backroom team and players.
What was it mainly then for you that stood out from his year? Because of course last year he had a significant enough year and they had a fantastic semi-final against Dublin. What was it this year? What was the difference this year really for them? Because in terms of personnel, you would argue that they're weaker with their retirements and with the loss of three injury of Cooper as well. Like, what has been the difference for them? What have they really persevered with?
I think it's something Pierce talked about a number of weeks ago about them actually evolving and moving with the times. And I know, I suppose I had kind of mentioned, come back to... It was a bit of soccer, I suppose, as well, and the problems that maybe Lovett Arsenal team seem to have, where they just go out and kind of play, and you know, don't really, I suppose, look at the defensive side of things, or maybe kind of phases of play, and it's something that I've noticed this last 2 years under Kerry, where you know they have started moving with the times, they've adopted, I suppose, their style of play to, first of all, I suppose, curb the opposing teams, and then obviously after they've nullified them, then to obviously then sort out the weaknesses and then go and play and obviously punish the opposing team's weaknesses and I think that was highlighted, you know, to no end really in the All-Ireland final, where they more or less matched and beat Donegal at their own game. And that really summed it up for me the last 2 years and where they have come from. And again, you know, it is a scary prospect to kind of think of the players that they were missing and will be back for the next number of seasons as well. So, you know, I think it's been just you know, Kerry have evolved, and I think that's scary, a scary statement, let alone anything else.
Well, how about then? Okay, we were looking in ahead to the next year there, but from this year, Pierce, for you, people said last year that it was a very poor, like at times it was quite a poor championship in that game between Kerry and Dublin made it. But for you this year, both semi-finals were fantastic. A replay as well was brilliant as well. Did those three games paper over the cracks of what was actually not a very entertaining championship this year? Or is that, okay, maybe we're talking about from the outside looking in, is that important? Or, you know, was those three games really that we had of the semi-finals all that mattered?
No, I think if you take into account as well the Kildare and Monaghan game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Donegal and Armagh game.
The Fermanagh, was that the Fermanagh Leash game? Is that right?
Fermanagh Leash. Yeah, okay, we got it. Fermanagh Antrim game.
Just yeah, we'll move on from that one.
But I know, like, people are going to point to the Leinster Championship and the imbalance there between them, but like, the Ulster final wasn't that bad either. Yeah, like Donegal and Monaghan. I think in terms of the standard for the championship, it all comes down to the two teams that are playing against each other. Because in any sport, and I think this is the problem at the moment, there is an awful lot of imbalances in provincial championships. When you look at something like Meath and Dublin, where Dublin just completely blew out Meath in the Leinster final, where like Monaghan and Dublin in the quarterfinal, Dublin just completely blew them out, but yet they can go up against the Donegal team and Donegal team and they can pull off a fantastic performance. I think the championship is getting better, and I think the standard is improving. Mm-hmm. And I think probably in the long term for it, I would obviously have loved to see Dublin win the All-Ireland this year. But I think it's made it very interesting, because I was listening to Jim Gavin's comments, and he talked about how he wasn't going to change his whole style, but he was going to change little bits of it, because he saw things. He said, right, we were doing things there and it was working, but actual fact, was it working against the top teams? And that's been something that's bothered me about this Dublin team, is that they were buying into the style of football they were playing based on playing very poor teams. I think if Dublin can then match the likes of Kerry, who are going to kick on even more, I think people are underestimating how good Mayo will be next year. I think they have a new breath of fresh air in the two new coaches there. Monaghan, I would be interested to see how they'll kick on, how they'll come back. Like, there's teams dotted around the country who can make a huge difference and can bring the standard even more on even more.
Yeah, so you foresee a championship that has steadily improved. This year was another step up in the improvement and overall. What about for you, Ryan? Is it similar for you?
I would agree. I suppose it's not really so much a worry. You know, you have to look at the final and, you know, how that game kind of panned out as well, to see that, you know, there may be a new blueprint, you know, in how teams play, especially, you know, when you look at the smaller counties and I suppose, yes, the weaker counties, you know, and how they may adapt their game to, I suppose, become more competitive and to play against the so-called better sides as well. And, you know, who's to say that next year's championship may be a case of maybe 15 players, you know, in defence on both sides, and, you know, a complete game of chess, and you know, it could kind of fare out that way. But, you know, overall, you know, I thought it wasn't a very exciting championship. People give off, yes, about the final, but for me as a player, it was an intriguing kind of tactical battle, and being at the game as well, you know, it was edge of the seat stuff, and obviously then, you know, throughout the year and being involved, yes, in some of the games as well, you know, the games were played at a well, it was either a quicker pace or maybe it's a case of me just at the end of getting very close to getting them boots nailed up as well. But you know, the games were played at a frantic pace, from day dot. And you know, I thoroughly enjoyed being obviously part of that as well. But you know, I did enjoy. There was numerous games. Pierce named, you know, a few of them. But you know, to sit back and take some of the games in, you know, and to watch. I suppose the way the games have panned out this year. And you know, yes, we called quite a few of them. But I suppose then come the business end and come, you know, closer to the finals. You know, not many of us would have called, you know, those two sides to be in the All Ireland final. So it was a great year's football and an intriguing year's football also.
Yeah, well, I'm going to throw a couple of you at you here now. Like, well, for example, the Ulster final, I actually did enjoy. Like, I don't know what that says about me, but I actually did quite enjoy it. But a couple of other emergence this year was, I thought, even if you look back as far as the league, the emergence or re-emergence, I don't know what way you put it, of say a county like Clare. Now, Clare, you know, played very well in Munster, and they were very, very unfortunate not to come through against Kildare in the qualifiers. And you could say the same about Tipperary, who are much more established in the, you know, nationwide in terms of their football. Like, they've had minor titles and things they got there, but they took on another step this year. You know, came flying back against Galway and that there in the qualifiers, and you know, I think, to be honest, these sort of sides stepping up in Munster, now they've done away with the seedings as well. Now, is there something as well that's going to be significant next year? You know, we're going to have these other more competitive counties. You know, you could argue there was maybe a top at the start of this season. You maybe would say there was a top two, and that was Dublin and Mayo. And now you're going into the next season. Now, I'm not saying Clare or Tipperary up there. Are we going to go in with maybe a top six or so that are maybe looking to, you know, to win the championship overall?
You would probably have to add, I suppose, Armagh to that as well.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And with, I suppose, renewed, you could say renewed vigour under Mr. McGeaney as well. You know, they will be a force to be reckoned with. And obviously,
they've lost Aaron Kernan today.
That was something I was going to maybe touch on at the end. But, you know, Aaron will be a massive loss, you know, in any dressing room. An absolute gentleman off the pitch and a warrior on, you know, on the pitch. And, you know, his experience, yes, will be sadly missed. But then again, you know, don't be surprised if there isn't a re-emergence at some stage throughout the year from Aaron, or you know, he may be involved in some manner with the Armagh setup, or maybe back in. And you know, although I had battles with him on the pitch, you know, you never look at, you would love to see him back out there playing and knowing him, especially now as well, you know, from knowing him off the pitch, you know, I'd love to see him back involved. So you know, Armagh have to be really kind of questioning where they're going to go next year. And then you obviously have a couple of sides who disappointed me this year as well, the likes of Cavan, who, you know, will be hoping to get back on, you know, back and progressing next year as well. So there's many sides that, you know, will count themselves thereabouts again in that kind of top six, top eight. And again, look at it, it's going to be an interesting league and summer next year again, and I'm sure it'll be fun.
Yeah, well, Calvin, well, Pierce was the team you were touting at the start of the year to good enough things, like myself included.
Yeah.
No, but I think also two teams that we're forgetting about as well, and I think will make a big impact if they get the rub of the green, are Cork and Roscommon. There are two teams who probably, like Cork, for instance, came within a point of beating Mayo. And if they had gone into a semi-final, if they built up a little bit of momentum, like, in, for instance, the dual player rule down in Cork, they seem to be scrapping that, and they seem to be going hell for leather for next year. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them back in the mix. Yeah. Like Calvin as well, I think. Like, for that's a county that have done very well at under 21. They're after winning the junior All Ireland, so they have pedigree there. They can trouble teams. Like, that's what I'm saying in terms of, like, it's, I think, for the GAA as a whole, right? You have to, there is a deficit, but I think some teams are picking up the baton there and trying to make the lessen the deficit. Like in Leinster, Laois weren't that bad. They, with a little bit more experience, a little bit more nous, can maybe trouble Dublin, they and have a good run in the qualifiers. Mm-hmm. Like we're saying in Connacht, Roscommon, Galway under Kevin Walsh, what are they going to be able to do? Down in Munster, can Tipperary make the breakthrough? Like, there is subplots there that I think will make the championship a bit more competitive. It's just up to those individual counties. Like Jim McGuinness said there last week, that every county has players that are capable of competing at a top level. They've just got to get themselves organised. And that's the question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, like Hugh mentioned the sides like Leash there. Like, now, Ryan, you, of course, you faced them as well. Yeah. Is a team you could see based on this year's show? Because, of course, in their game against Dublin, okay, it was maybe for a half, that's all they did, but it's a step up compared to, say, somebody like Meath, you know, who people are spending a lot more of.
I was actually quite disappointed with Meath this year, and yeah, it was a team that I looked at that would possibly, you know, trouble Dublin. We played them a number of seasons ago. I know it was for promotion from 3-2 at that stage, and I was actually very impressed with them that day and thought that they were actually moving in the right direction. Whether it is a case of maybe just lacking that bit of belief to play against Dublin and obviously beat them in Croke Park, which seems to be the case, because, you know, the tools they should be using them obviously more effectively, and they should be competing with the likes of Dublin. I was impressed with Leash, although I thought, you know, at times we had them on the racks and could have maybe stole the result that day in the qualifiers as well. But look, I suppose the beauty of the backdoor system as well is to give, you know, the likes of ourselves, Leashes, you know, whoever it may be that is knocked out in the earlier rounds, a chance to kind of gain a bit of momentum and maybe cause that upset or two. And, you know, we thankfully had one or two years of doing that, and we're well aware of the kind of joys of progressing in the backdoor system as well. And, you know, there are so many sides, you know, as you both mentioned as well, that can compete at that level. But again, it is about being organised. It is about setting your system and your stall out right at the start of the year, and it's about having that belief. And I think that's something that, you know, Mr. McGuinness has more than installed, not only into, you know, his senior team, but into the county as a whole.
Yeah, well, okay, well, this might seem like it's a bit all over the place, but it's almost like we're going county to county here in terms of a review. But Pierce, you mentioned Roscommon there. Could have beaten Mayo in the semi-final of Connacht. You know, they were very, very comfortable in that game for a lot of, you know, a good amount of that game. Against Armagh, though, absolutely dire. What's the difference there? And I think that's honestly what happened. And even in that, you know, their under-21s weren't even, they were being held back in that. Is Roscommon a side based on this year now? Is Roscommon the team that we've seen raised their game against Mayo, or are they the side that automatically, you know, ultimately were just blown away by Armagh?
Roscommon for me were a side that were targeting the Connacht title, and when they didn't win that, subconsciously I think it seeped into their general team ethic that they weren't going to do much else. They didn't fancy going to Croke Park or whatever else. It was, they'd won the Division 3 title, they wanted to win the Connacht Championship, that didn't happen. They didn't beat Mayo, so it just came to a point where, like, the under-21s that got into an All-Ireland final, and they did come up, and I remember at the time watching it, and people like were writing columns, and they were criticising Roscommon for their standard performance, but I stand by, that was a brilliant Armagh performance that day. Absolutely superb. And if anything, I'd say that was when Armagh probably peaked in the championship this year.
Yeah.
Well, Ryan?
I would agree, you know, and different sides, I suppose, set their stalls out at the start of the year, you know, like Pierce has said, to achieve different, obviously, goals, you know. Yes, look at, you know, in an ideal world, you're always going to say at your team meeting at the start of the year, what do you want to do? You want to win Sam Maguire, you know. Is it realistic at times? Possibly not. But, you know, you may put that down, but, you know, when you think deep down about, you know, where you're going, what you're trying to achieve, you know, Roscommon probably would have had, look at game promotion, get out of Division 3, which they'd done, and ended up winning Division 3. And yes, they definitely, you know, targeted that in provincial, or sorry, their provincial side championship, and then it did look like the wheels had come off as well. However, look at the meta, an Armagh side who again, I suppose I had talked about at the start of the year, you know, who we had played, and you know they started to show a bit of, you could say, the geezer kind of qualities, you know, in their game, where they were strong in the tackle up front. You know, they were very, very committed. What I mean by committed was, you know, there was no such thing as getting out with the ball easy from defence. You know, there was a lot of heat applied when you had it. And there was a nastiness about the Armagh side that I haven't seen in a while. And I suppose we talked about that as well before. You know, with that nastiness comes that winning mentality. And, you know, you need, you know, that squad of nasty men on the pitch, and obviously those coming on as well to really kind of move forward. So it was the first time I'd seen that in a while with Armagh, and look, they're certainly moving in the right direction as well.
Yeah, it looks like that, you know, they really do have the capabilities to build on what they had the previous year. What about another Ulster side here? Now, we had Monaghan, who of course, you know, beat Tyrone in Ulster, which is a big, very, very big thing for them, especially with their history against them. Although we at Monaghan have won Ulster recently, you know, the fixtures against Tyrone weren't obviously going well for them. Then they lost to Armagh, beat Armagh in the replay. So they really were, you know, slogging it through Ulster. The game against Donegal, though, Pierce, was that really the point where Monaghan, okay, you had the qualifiers in that there when they came through facing Kildare, but for Monaghan now, when they got to Croke Park against Dublin, a lot of people thought, you know, like this was the opportunity for Dublin to be caught. And then it was like, no. Monaghan are just a Donegal light, I think it was described as. Does Monaghan need to take do Monaghan need an extra... I've heard it described as that. But Monaghan, do they need an extra dimension to really step it up? You know, is there something lacking there from them?
Yes. A simple answer is yes.
And was that apparent this year?
Against Dublin, yes. For me, I thought they were very one-dimensional going forward, and I was actually very disappointed in what they offered up front. But that was something that was fairly evident for me against Kildare, in that they beat them on a... It was a lot of digging deep and a lot of grit and a lot of fellas coming, wing-backs and that, and Desi Mullen playing very well and all that kind of stuff. But up front, they overemphasised on getting the ball to Conor McManus. And as a result, the whole forward shape, I thought, suffered. And then at the back, they couldn't... It was almost like the forwards that were coming back all year in their formation to try and flood the backs. They need to go up again to try and help out Conor McManus. But when they did that, Dublin came forward and damaged them, because like once Colin Walsh went off, it was goodnight Vienna for them.
Mm. Yeah. Ryan, what about for you now? Monaghan's year, is this something they'll look back as a big disappointment?
I think from I suppose the players' perspective, I think a lot of those players had played probably nearly too much football leading up to that. You know, they came off the back of a successful year last year. I know a lot of those players then were involved with, you know, possible, you know, trips away or you know, little breaks with obviously Monaghan and stuff as well, you know, after the great year they had. I suppose when they came back home, some of those lads were involved with Sigerson football, two or three of them involved with that, were straight into the interprovincials and playing that, and then straight back into, you know, probably involved with their clubs. Some of them actually ended up winning club titles as well, and then really straight back into the county football. And you know, it's a hard, long year, and it's something that I feel, you know, isn't addressed and should be addressed, you know, by the GAA, where players should be given that time to really, you know, rest and get their bodies right for what is an absolutely horrendous, you know, on your body and demanding year. Look at we love doing it. Don't get me wrong, as well. It's I suppose that rush and it's that kind of, you know, I suppose it's nearly like, I don't know much about drugs, but it's probably that boost and drug that, you know, you kind of get used to, and those players don't probably want to take a rest, but their bodies absolutely needed it. And you had Conor McManus really only coming back from a serious injury as well, and coming back into the side then. I think it was maybe around the Donegal game, I think he had come back around that stage as well. So, you know, and they were over-reliant on him as well. Pierce made a great point. You know, a lot of the time they were very one-dimensional looking for Conor, and unfortunately, you know, Conor had probably been out for too long, lacked that real bit of sharpness, and they obviously now are in a period as well of transition. I know there's a number of players, you know, coming towards their latter years, and you know, hopefully Malachy can now, I suppose, continue the great work that he's done, him and Dropsy in the backroom team, and try and bring through some of that successful minor side, you know, that were in, or that won the championship there, was it last year or the year before as well. So, you know, they have a big job on their hands, but you know, they're certainly capable of moving forward with, you know, the addition of those minors as well.
Yeah, well, okay, let's move it more to, well, we've had a bit of a debate before about Team of the Year and All-Star selections and things like that there. I know the two of you have a bit of an idea of what your selection would be. Maybe we just go through it position by position here. Pierce, for a goalkeeper now, Paul Durkin, of course, has been someone who has been lauded all year. Of course, he had the unfortunate mistake in the final, but would Donegal have got as far as they did if someone else was in goals?
No, I think he's been brilliant all year, and I think he Jim McGuinness, I think, looked at the impact that Stephen Cluxton has had on Dublin in terms of their rise to the top, and I think he's tried to replicate the same with Paul Durkin, and he was quite successful, I think. For me, like, special mention, I have to go to obviously Stephen Cluxton, but also Robbie Henley, I think, were very, very close to getting in there. So, but the goalkeeper for me is Paul Durkin.
Yeah, Ryan, in agreement? Rob Henley's a good shot as well.
I'm really not a, I'm not a fan of these All-Stars again. I think I've said that it kind of boosts some players' egos, and those egos at times, unfortunately, are big enough, and I don't think it helps dressing rooms. But anyway, no, I look at if I'm going to put my neck on the line here with this as well. So no, I have to go with Durkin, and his sheer presence, just being there alone, and the size of the man, with no disrespect him, you know, he's an animal. He just more or less takes up most of the balls. So yeah, to have that presence first and foremost, and you know, as a talker and communicator as well, that's something that's very important. And Durkin for me.
Yeah, very imposing as well. Just okay, yeah. Full back line then, Pierce. What sort of structure are you going for here?
I'm going for a right corner back. I'm going for Mark O'Shea. I think people have talked about it all year. If Kieran Donaghy was in the wasn't in the Kerry team, would they have won in All Ireland? But I'm going to turn it on the flip side here and say, with Mark O'Shea coming on for Kerry in the replay, I think was so instrumental for Kerry in winning that game, because he organised the defence so well that day. In a game that they were kind of teetering on the edge at times, he was, I think he was brilliant in the final as well. He's a very well organised, well disciplined cornerback. For me, and I don't think he gets enough credit, I'm going to go with Mark O'Shea, right cornerback. Fullback, I'm going to go for Neil McGee. There's not much you can say about this fella. Like, you know, Ryan, we talked about this in the last podcast, he's a very, very tough guy. He like Mark, he organises the defence very good, very well, and he knows how to give it. Left cornerback for me, Keith Higgins. He was brilliant all year. He's a player who Mayo, he's probably the best defender Mayo have, in terms of, like, he's so versatile and he can play all around the pitch as well. So that's my fullback line: Mark O'Shea, Neil McGee, and Keith Higgins.
Right, okay, Ryan, would you agree, disagree with that? You add anyone in?
I've just won in, I suppose. I have O'Mahony in instead of O'Shea, and I'd have Neil McGee and Higgins as well. O'Mahony, basically, because, well, I suppose it's quite similar to O'Shea. You know, he goes about his business very, very, I suppose, quietly, you could say, from maybe a media perspective, and you know, I suppose his persona more than anything else. I think he's 34 at this stage, an age that I'm unfortunately reaching closer to as well. And he's 5 medals. His job on Murphy in the final, I think, epitomised that. You know, it's not just about age. You know, that experience, and if you have it up above as well, you know, he completely I suppose he targeted Murphy and you know never really you know left him alone the whole game and you know that's probably for me why he kind of stood out. McGee, he's like a Barry Owens figure, you know, that you mightn't hear much from him maybe on the pitch, but let me tell you, he scares the life, you know, out of some of the forwards, and he will do the ugly stuff that's needed to get you through. And you know, for every you could say Michael Murphy, there's a Neil McGee as well in the squad that kind of you know, I suppose that funds the riches of scoring for Michael Murphy, you could say as well. Keith Higgins, you know, excellent outlet, you know, going forward also, and obviously a ragged kind of defender that always seems to be hanging off an opponent. So yeah, that's my three.
Yeah, okay. What about going into the half back line then for yourself, Pierce? Now the main ones that have been talked about so far, Paul Murphy, Peter Crowley, Colin Boyle, people like this here. What about yourself there? Now, that's the Sunday game went for that, so I don't know if you're that avidly committed to the Sunday game yourself.
I went Paul Murphy right off back. I thought an awful lot about this in that I'm not too sure he was overly fantastic all year, but I think to come in to the position that he did, right half back in a Kerry team, like number five right off back is synonymous with Tomás O'Shea, and so much of that Paul has done all year have been little reflections in Tomás's game as well. I thought in the All-Ireland final, he probably cinched it for me. I thought he was impressive. He was in his ball carrying abilities and his abilities to support the attack, in not panicking, in breaking the tackle, doing the simple things that a right half back should do. And he also goes unnoticed in an awful lot of the donkey work he does, which that's a very, very welcome in a half back and a wing half back. Centre back, Colin Boyle, excellent player. Like Colin, if you were to say to me why Colin Boyle, and the reason alone that epitomises how good he is the second half of the first game between Mayo and Kerry. His drive, his determination, and his ability to just drive at a team. He is the Xavi of Gaelic football in how he presses teams so high, it's scary. He has been very, very impressive for me all year. And I think even when Lee Keegan got sent off, I thought he held the line very well. He organised it very well. And for a fella that was all right last year, he really came into his own. And left half back, I'm open to the suggestion to play for this one.
Okay.
But I was thinking about the left half backs that I played all year and who was the best one. And for me, it probably was Fionn Fitzgerald in his ability to lead the team. Again, Paul Murphy, in his just general aesthetics that he brings to the left half back line, in terms of his ability to join the attack, to not panic, to do the simple things, I thought he impressed me. So that my half back line is Paul Murphy, Colin Boyle, and Fionn Fitzgerald.
Okay, interesting final choice there. A lot of people might not agree with that. I think there's maybe someone else. Ryan, what about for you?
mine's completely different. I've watched good stuff. I went for Lee Keegan from Mayo. I suppose similar to what Pierce had said about Crowley. You know, I think he epitomises everything that's good about Mayo football at the minute. I think you could probably play him anywhere. I think you could play him at half forward. He could do a great job. You know, he carries the ball well. Well, I think a sending off was, you know, a crucial kind of period for Mayo as well in their semi-final and possibly changed the game as well, even though, look, he was silly in what he had done. But I think he's one of their most influential players and will be for the next number of years also. Crowley, for me, at centre-half-back from Kerry, I think he kind of, I suppose, typifies what is going on at the minute for Kerry, and basically how they kind of, you know, as we said, evolved and I suppose move with the modern game. I kind of like defenders who defend, to be fair, as well. I know I talked about Keegan there, and he can go forward, but, you know, Keegan and Crowley both as well, you know, they're nasty, they're horrible, they're in your face. And that's, I suppose, what I like about defenders. You know, I want defenders who can defend and look at if they can do a wee bit more and go forward, well, so be it. Right half-back then, I was going with Frank McGlynn, purely because of the fact, you know, he has been doing it for so long. He has reached that level of consistency that now we nearly expect him to kind of keep doing more and more and more. You know, he always kind of seems to be, you know, starting moves, possibly at the end of moves. And to be fair, you know, you never hear of anybody who is marking really, you know, really kind of testing him or maybe, you know, getting the better of him as well. So I'm going to go with those three in the half-back line, Keegan, Crowley at centre half, and then McGlynn on the other side.
Yeah, I think Crowley, even for that block alone that he pulled off in the final, like, was outstanding there. Frank McGlynn got a point in the final as well, as far as I know, getting forward. So, but yeah, okay, Pierce, I'm going to go with someone here as a suggestion that you've mentioned already. The likes of, say, Desi Mohn. What do you think? Not Monaghan, not in it long enough for him, or?
No. Like, Desi Mohn really played. Yeah. No, I just think in terms of the two wing backs that I picked, Paul Murphy and Fionn Fitzgerald, in how they played across the whole championship, and I know they had the benefit of winning the thing and playing more games than others, but I think Fionn Fitzgerald, for me in particular, I thought impressed in how he led the team for a guy who, like, he seemed, when I first saw him play earlier on in the year, he seemed a gust of wind would blow him over. Like, he didn't seem to have that mental fortitude that comes with being a Kerry captain, let alone an inter-county captain.
Okay.
So, as I watched again, like, against Cork and against Mayo and even against Galway, for a team that I didn't expect much from him, I thought he led from the front an awful lot, and I thought he impressed in that regard, in that he was really, like, I know captaincy really shouldn't come into it, but for a fellow who was third choice captain, he took it. He took the mantle very well, and he really kind of mixed it in with his general play as a left half back in terms of, like I said, simple play. And I thought I've always believed in the saying, attitude reflects leadership. And his attitude when he went onto the pitch of doing things very simple, not making many mistakes, joining the attack at the right times, joining the defence at the right times, it was right throughout the team, and probably was a reason Paul Murphy excelled and Peter Crowley.
Yeah, okay, well, lads, join me in the middle of the field as we look at the two men you'd want to be standing there with you at the end of the year. Neil Gallagher, David Moran, Anthony Maher, Seamus O'Shea, Michael Darragh-McCauley. Who would you want to throw in here?
I've gone for Gallagher and Michael Murphy, actually. I know Murphy might be a shock decision here because of, I suppose, where he played most of the championship. He had started in the full forward line. However, I felt that Donegal were at their, you know, they played some of their best football, and I suppose, yes, broke through sides whenever, you know, Michael played in the middle of the pitch. Again, you could have a team of Michael Murphys, and you know, you, if you could kind of clone him, you could put him everywhere and anywhere. But, you know, for me, when he was in the middle, and, you know, none more so than that then Croke Park, when they moved him out to the middle, and the partnership he has with Gallagher, you know, on and, I suppose, yes, off the pitch as well. I know how close they are, and I know they've opened a shop and stuff as well, but I think they really complement each other. Gallagher is a massive unsung hero and leader in the Donegal side. You know, the work and the kind of ugly play that man goes through, you know, is I suppose it's unrecognised in a certain extent, but I don't think he gets it enough credit, to be honest, as well. He does set the tone for Donegal most days as well, would you believe? You know, if you have an unsung Neil Gallagher and he, you know, is doing that horrible, we call it donkey work. I wouldn't really like to call it donkey work because, you know, it's not, you know, he's good at what he does. It's that, you know, spoiling of players and you know, some of the tackles, some of the work rate that man puts in, is phenomenal. And you know, I suppose he does give the platform, you know, like your McGee's, to the likes of Michael Murphy's, and to go and really then showcase their game. So for me, it's them two.
Yeah, and Gallagher, another man who likes to pop up on the edge of the square from time to time as well. Yes. Too. But Pierce, for you, anyone else out of the ordinary?
I should probably go for the two Dublin midfielders. But I'm going to go with the consensus here that has been mooted. I'm going to go for David Moore, and I'm going to go for Neil Gallagher. I don't think there's been any other midfielders. I know Ryan said there Michael Murphy, but for me, when you're picking this team, I think it's I'm a great believer in it's a fella has a number on his back, that's his position. Mm-hmm. But I can understand why people will say that Michael Murphy should be placed in midfield for his performances. But anyway, David Moore in the semi-final, I thought was probably his best performance, but it also epitomised the kind of player he is. And he's a really traditional, in the oldest sense of the word, traditional dominant midfielder. He gets on the ball. He makes things happen. He can field. He can disrupt. He can defend. He can attack. He's overall, as a rounded footballer, he's not the most magnificent footballer we'll ever see. But as a midfielder, and he's very impressive. And he's a throwback to the old days. And for me, he's been consistently one of the best midfielders this year. And the other one, Ryan touched on there, Neil Gallagher, has been brilliant all year for Donegal. And he's the other choice for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well then half forward. Probably a little bit more room to move with here rather than the midfield. But Pierce, we'll go back to you. Sure to start off with this one. Any Dublin mimic this one for you?
Paul Flynn. I'm going to go with Paul Flynn. I thought he was, like I said earlier on, attitude reflects leadership, and his attitude and how he plays the game. He has just excelled as a footballer for me. When he first came into the Dublin panel, I was sceptical about how good he could become, but also how good he was at the time. And somebody obviously saw something in him, because they've worked on him, and he's become a fella that could potentially play at midfield next year and could do a brilliant job. He has a lot of things to his game that have been fantastic in terms of his ball-carrying skills, his ability to orchestrate the attack, his ability to get back, his ability to get up and down the pitch. He's a traditional, in the modern sense of the word, if David Moran's the throwback to the old midfielder, Paul Flynn is the new style wing forward, and he's been very, very impressive. At centre forward, Aidan O'Shea has been brilliant for me. The fella confounds how he can pull things off in certain games. He is probably the one man I've seen all year, apart from my choice of left half forward, they're probably the two fellas that can just turn a game on its head with one moment. And Aidan O'Shea, I think, is and plus his performance again, like Colin Boyle against Kerry in the second half in the All-Ireland semi-final, was brilliant. My choice of left half forward is another Dublin man, Dermot Connolly. I think throughout the year, I wouldn't go along with the consensus in that he's been so brilliant that he could be a contender for player of the year. I don't agree with that, but he has been very impressive. He has been one of Dublin's best players. And I think the great thing about Dermot Connolly and Paul Flynn is that if you put them midfield in a Dublin game tomorrow, they wouldn't look out of place. And that's how brilliant they've been, in that they've become so versatile for the team.
The versatility definitely helps there. What about for you, Ryan?
You know, it's snap. Occasion, okay. It's all three as well included. So Flynn for me has been probably the only kind of half forward that I've actually seen playing his position all year, and maybe that's why he's been so effective as well. But look at he is so good at everything he has done this year. He's an exceptional talent and will be over the next number of years as well. Aidan O'Shea. I thought as well, you know, and a lot of the sides these days are playing kind of three men in midfield, and he has come out and obviously kind of boosted Mayo's midfield on occasions as well. But you know, he is definitely up there with one of the best in Ireland. And you know, I was going to say the pleasure of playing against him, but it's not really, I suppose, a pleasure at the time when he's steamrolling through at 100 miles an hour. But again, in the interprovincial series, you know, I came up against that firsthand, and you know, I'd seen it in a friendly game as well that we had played Mayo in. You know, even in these so-called lesser fixtures, you know, he is given absolutely everything, and he plays the game, you know, as if it is his last game, and that's something that, you know, you have to admire from the man himself. And Conley for me has been, you know, exceptional, you know, in the latter stages for Dublin. But again, he's another one of those players where, look at, he just reeks of class. His volley a couple of weeks ago, if anyone hasn't seen it, I think you can get it maybe on YouTube, his volley in that club game. Again, just, you know, the game looks so easy for him at times. And, you know, the reason why it does is because it probably is for him. You know, he is so strong and physically gifted that, you know, he could be again a midfielder, and he probably actually has, I don't think, got the credit he deserves again this year. You know, people were saying he was playing poorly at the start of the year. You know, he was maybe still kicking 3, 4, 5 points. The fact that, you know, he has set himself up in such a kind of level of performance each week that, you know, if he's not kicking, I suppose, 7, 8 scores and maybe setting up maybe 3 or 4 maybe goal chances or scores on top of that, you know, that's why people are on his back. But he has been outstanding for me, and he is part of, I suppose, a new, you could say, I suppose, athlete and breed of footballer as well.
Yeah, well, I think something that may have hindered the start of the year was the fact he had a full club campaign, pretty much the full campaign.
Well, that goes back to our arguments earlier on with I suppose, rest and players not getting that, but no, for me, it was him.
I'm going to throw three or four names at you here that perhaps could warrant a bit of inclusion. Very popular one among people that said these sort of things, Ryan McHugh, Donegal, 20 years of age from Kilcar, 2-2 against Dublin, Pierce.
Give him the young player of the year, Pierce. What do you think? Just give him the young player of the year.
I refuse to acknowledge Ryan McHugh. No, what are you asking? I think he was brilliant against Dublin.
He was brilliant against Monaghan in the Ulster final as well. That was the other performance.
Like I said,
if you're putting in Ryan McHugh, who do you leave out of that? Fellas that are ahead of him, for me, are the best three half forwards in the country and three of the best players playing the game at the moment.
Yeah. So not just this year, but the actual, you know.
Yeah,
the guys
exactly.
Who set the standard, you would say.
I think as well. You know, when Pierce, you know, obviously give out his three names, and obviously I give out the three names. I'm sure Connor as well. You know, your three names were probably along the same lines.
Yeah.
And when you ask, I'm sure that the general kind of consensus of fans, supporters, probably players as well, they would probably name the same three, and that's where, you know, Pierce has said it there now. Look at, these three players are as good as footballers in the country at the moment, and you know, they are just at this stage, you know, they're miles ahead of McHugh, even though, you know, McHugh has had a fantastic, you know, season as well.
Yeah, okay, well, I'll throw out a couple of other names for you here. Maybe it won't come close based on that description.
Just cut you all off.
Yeah, exactly. No, what about the likes of, say, you know, somebody like Tony Kernan for Armagh, or, you know, Stephen Campbell, who, you know, both had great years as well. Now, maybe not a higher standard performance compared to the three you've mentioned, but surely fellas like this would have been close, really, for you?
I'm sure Pierce, you can take this up, but I can't see past the other three lads. And again, I've seen, you know, those two lads, Kernan, and I've seen Soupy, I think his nickname goes by, in action as well. And you know, they are again top class players as well, but just not in the same league as those three.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Let's move on then to full forward line. Well, I'm pretty sure, is James O'Donoghue going to feature in both of your teams? Very harsh if he doesn't.
James O'Donoghue for me at right corner forward. Look, it doesn't need to be too much said about this guy. He's been brilliant all year. He has the skills and things in his armour to grow even better. I was a bit sceptical at the start of the year with him after I watched him in the league, and I thought he was a bit windy, but he's developed a mental fortitude to deal with big games, which has impressed me, and he's equally adept at creating chances as he is at scoring and finishing them. Full forward for me, Michael Murphy. He's been class. He's been brilliant. He's a fellow that could play anywhere. And like Ryan put him in midfield. Like, you put him in midfield, he'd do as well as any other position there. He's probably been a big reason why Donegal did so well, and he's been the driving force, and he's reflected the attitude of the whole team. And left corner forward, the top scorer in the championship again for the second year in a row, Killian O'Connor. Killian, I thought, was probably, he didn't have his greatest year this year, but he still is a fella that's very, very consistent for a Mayo team who have lacked. Like, Mayo, I've watched Mayo, like, I have family connections in Mayo growing up, and one thing that they never had was that standout marquee forward. Like, nowadays you have James O'Donoghue, Colm Cooper, Bernard Brogan, Michael Murphy, whoever. So for Killian O'Connor to come into this Mayo team at still a relatively very young age and put his mark down as a fella who Mayo can look to and put the ball over the bar, and he'll be a future captain for them. I thought he's been impressive. He's been very impressive.
Mm-hmm. Ryan, any changes for you?
No. Well, I suppose obviously I had Murphy out in midfield. Yeah. I had obviously Gainey in there as well. From Kerry, I thought he's been fantastic. And any times I suppose that O'Donoghue hasn't, well, I suppose when we talk about O'Donoghue's off day, he's still kicking 1-3, 1-4, yeah, or whatever it may be.
The finals, a perfect example. You know, yeah. I think O'Donoghue was scoreless, and Paul Gainey got 1-2.
Yeah. So yeah.
So
I think for me his inclusion in there, and again, look at, he's a player came off, you know, he wasn't in the radar at the start of the year, and for him to again do so well throughout the year, you know, he's had an exceptional season on O'Connor. Well, I suppose I don't really need to say anything more about O'Donoghue. I think we've seen a completely different side of his game in the final. Another intriguing side of his game where, you know, he got involved in so much play and was able to kind of set up a lot of their attacks as well. O'Connor, I heard about Killian O'Connor a few years ago, and I was at, I think it was actually a team meeting or something along that lines, and I talked to maybe it was one of our other players who had said that Killian sits in nearly every kind of team meeting and every kind of meeting just with a pen and a notepad. So whoever's in actually speaking, he's sitting down. And most speakers who have come in, you know, whether he's been with the club or with the county and have done anything at all, you know, where he's been involved and been sitting, I suppose, in, whether it's a conference or an event, he's sitting writing down everything. So, you know, he is just working 100% at his game, taking everything in. And, you know, for him to be, yes, more or less the kind of figurehead in the Mayo attack, you know, it's big pressure there. And I think he's done well to deal with that. And, you know, he's still very, very young, obviously, as well. So, you know, I'm going to go with those three.
Okay. And a couple of other honourable mentions. We talked last time about Kieran Donaghy. Pierce, you were pretty adamant that on the basis of the number of games he's played, the significant impact, there were maybe others more deserving of it. Not maybe to get into it again, but pretty much that was the summary.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It looks like, from what I hear, it looks like he's going to get an All-Star.
Oh.
I know. But
do you think Murphy will be giving one out the field?
Now, from what I heard today, Donaghy's been nominated anyway, and it looks like he's been nominated to get an All-Star anyway. So, people are going to listen to this and first and think, you know, Kerry won't win an All-Ireland without Kieran Donaghy there. And for me, that's, you're doing a disservice to, like I said earlier on, Fionn Fitzgerald. You're doing a disservice to Mark O'Shea, to David Moran, to Aidan O'Mahony. Like, there's fellas there who were brilliant. You're doing a massive disservice, I think, to James O'Donoghue in saying that as well. Like, look, Kieran Donaghy did his part for the team. He came in, he used the strength, he used his height, he created goals. People will call them decisive. I would call them just doing his bit for the team.
Okay.
For me, he doesn't deserve a place in the team purely because he wasn't the best number 14 all year. Michael Murphy was.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. A couple other ones here. These would maybe be honourable mentions as well. Bernard Brogan? Would he be someone now, maybe not ahead of the three that are currently named there, but his season as a whole, what way would you look back on it?
I'll leave this with you. Go ahead.
Well, like, no, because it's just, all I'm saying is because last year, you know, he got man of the match in the final, didn't he? And he had not an outstanding, you know, in the lead up to that final. Remember, there was big, you know, there was talk of people saying, you know, whether he was warranting the place in the team. But this year, do you think he upped his game? Like, you know, do you think he really did step up to it more this year?
Not really. I think it was probably another so-so year from Bernard Brogan. He's one of the top forwards in the country for me at the moment. That's undisputed. But to get into this team, Bernard Brogan hasn't done enough in the same respects that James O'Donoghue and Killian O'Connor and even Michael Murphy have done in terms of their leadership, in terms of doing the simple things, in terms of their return, in terms of just little things that I think, yeah, if you're in a box-ticking exercise, I don't think Bernard Brogan has ticked enough boxes for me to warrant a place in the team.
Okay, and then finally then, bit of left field, but Shane Walsh of Galway. Now, I know I'm not suggesting that he should be, you know, in the team of the year or anything, but I'm just saying from maybe Ryan or Pierce either, you want to take this on. You know, somebody is a player that really, you know, probably Galway fans be looking at, you know, they're the one, he's the guy that's going to lead us back into, well, credibility, really, like, compared to the last couple of years.
I suppose this is the joy every year of the All-Stars, and you know, we always have kind of one or two players who you would say, you know, I suppose are dark horses to get an All-Star, but come in maybe from a side that have maybe reached the quarterfinals or maybe just kind of, you know, been involved in the latter stages of the kind of backdoor system, you could say, a route as well. But you know, if you're going to mention something like that, you know, I have to mention, you know, Sean Quigley for ourselves and you know, his contribution this year as well. You know, I know he's in the line or under the line, mate, sorry, compared to his maybe brother Seamus, and you know Sean, I think, finished fifth or sixth or something. He was definitely in the top 10 scorers, you know, in Ireland in the championship, and only played two games. So, you know, I know how devastating Sean can be. I know the quality he possesses, similar to Walsh as well. And, you know, I suppose that's where, you know, I feel, you know, the game at times, I suppose, there's a certain, I find it hard to say this, but it's kind of, it doesn't kind of give maybe some players the chance to really kind of put themselves out there and kind of, you know, be at, you know, them top games and play at them top games. And, you know, Sean for the ability and the you know, the skill he has, you know, he could probably play again in most sides and in every county as well. So I know he's recently won a Fermanagh Championship at the weekend, and I'd love to see him go on and Ross Lay as well to do well in the club championships and for him to really push on and establish himself and, I suppose, take him out of that kind of the shadow of his brother as well, because he definitely deserves it. And that's why I thought he, you know, deserved a bit of a mention here tonight. Maybe not getting an All-Star, but, you know, in comparison, to look at to Walsh as well. Walsh has had a great season. You know, if we were to play two or three more games, you know, who's to say he wouldn't be in the mix as well? So, you know, credit to young Walsh from Galway. And look at, you know, the beauty of the All-Stars and I suppose the madness of the All-Stars. It always throws up one or two. And you know, well, again, I said it earlier on, it can boost a few egos and then maybe rub players up the wrong way, and some players may disappear off the kind of scene after. But no, hopefully, look, it goes without notice this year, and hopefully it's it's straightforward, and the players who have voted, you know, hopefully it's the players who deserve to be there, and I suppose we've named quite a few of them as well.
Okay, well, just finally, just to finish off then, if you were have to go for, say, a player of the year in a team sport, despite it being a team sport, but a player of the year, James O'Donoghue looks like he's a major favourite to take it, you know, the official one. So let's dish out our own one. Well, Pierce, for you, would James O'Donoghue be the outstanding player of this championship season?
I don't know. Probably, yeah. I'm going to go for it, but I think it's neck and neck with Michael Murphy. Mm-hmm. I think in how the two players have helped their team, I don't know. It's a tough one. I just think probably on the fact Kerry won the All-Irelands and James O'Donoghue's performance, and he didn't score, but he did other things very well for the team. He probably takes it from me.
Yeah, you look back in his fixed, you know, the Munster final, 10 points, you know, in the two games against Mayo.
Exactly.
I think it was 2-9 he got, you know.
So exactly.
But Ryan, anybody different for you there you would have?
I would just go for Murphy. I know I've been a massive fan of O'Donoghue, you know, throughout the year as well, and he has had a fantastic season. But for me, Murphy again, because he's consistently doing it. You know, he's done it throughout, you know, obviously the league campaign. And he has, you know, been a massive factor in Donegal, not only this year, over the last number of years, and he's continually doing it, and that for me just slightly edges it over O'Donoghue.
Okay, that's great. Well, I think we'll maybe finish up there. Unless there's anything else you want to add before we go?
No, not for me. I know, unfortunately, our ladies last week, suffered a bad defeat in Croke Park. But I suppose, unfortunately, you know, that's football at times. And I know those girls were very, very disappointed after. But they have a new manager. It's been progress again this season. So, you know, next year they'll not have to contend with down, move up. So next year might be their year. And I just wish them all the best, and it's been a tough week for them.
Yeah, although unfortunately somebody will be coming down to their championship as well. Pierce, what about for yourself?
Just a little bit. Kieran Donoghue's been nominated at 4-4 for the All-Stars, 2014 All-Stars. Michael Murphy has been nominated in the half-forward line.
Oh, is that just... Is that breaking news you've got?
That's breaking news.
Right,
breaking
okay. news. Hold on. I think that would be a bit of a...
That might answer a question then.
Yeah. So I think it's pretty nailed on. Would you say with that breaking news?
100%.
You can't see past it at this stage.
That's coming from, I think... It looks like I'd be interested to
come
see.
Come on, tell us the name here. You're sitting on the fence here. Just tell us, who was it? Was it Conley Textier? Or who was it?
No, it'll be in the paper tomorrow. It'll be in the paper tomorrow.
Pierce with this the journal with the sources. Okay.
I know.
Great job. Okay, that's great. We'll be back. Maybe soon. Maybe we'll take in a bit of club action or something like that. That's probably yet to be discussed. But I'm sure if we find ourselves with nothing better to do. I want to thank the pair of you for joining me and dragging this podcast back in again after our mid-season break we had. It's good cracking that there. So yeah. Get us on Twitter as usual at GA Scores. You'll find all us there as well. Pierce, thanks very much for joining me. Ryan, you too. And thanks everybody for listening. And we'll talk to you next time.
And the home side could have snatched an amazing comeback victory with the last kick of the game, but Ryan McCluskey was denied on the line by Antrim's Kevin O'Boyle.
Oh, holy Moses!
I tell you what they've achieved. They've achieved something absolutely rotten.
And Kieran McGeaney as a player was, you know, a phenomenal player, and he didn't cry and he didn't whinge, you know.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
But I'll tell you what, you can forget about Sean Kavanagh as far as he's a man.
Remember that tribe in Iraq, the Shiite tribe? Well, we've watched Shiite football.
People think I'm a bit of a lunatic, loose cannon, whatever you'd like to say.
Seamus! Come on! Move! Move!
Taking off my ring now, I walk out through the door. And every little lady shaking on the dance floor. Laughing to my friends, loosen up my tie. I'm a getting older, casting over one thing on my mind.